All right, thank you. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Genesis, chapter 27. I want to bring you a good Labor Day message this morning from the Word. Genesis chapter 27. Let's look at verse 1, which says, "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold now, I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went in the field hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death." I would love to continue reading through this entire chapter here, but I'm going to stop and begin to expound a little bit on this for you this morning. Back in chapter 25, verse 20, we find that Isaac was 40 years old before he got married. He is certainly old enough to know better, wasn't he? But he married Rebekah in 1827 B.C., and Rebekah was barren. She could not give birth to children. And Isaac's only recorded prayer was for a child. Now we know that God hears and answers prayer. He heard Isaac's prayer when he prayed that God would give him a child. And sure enough, Rebekah conceived after they'd been married for 20 years. By this time, Isaac was already 60 years old, but she bare twins, Esau and Jacob, back in 1807 B.C. Now, I want you to notice some things about these twin boys. First of all, they were not identical twins. They didn't look alike. When I was a boy growing up, we had a family that lived on a farm across the field from us, and they had among their children twin girls just about my age. They were the prettiest girls in the community, and every boy in school claimed those girls as his girls, but we never knew which one was which. They could even fool their mother, which they did, and that's unusual. They were identical twins, but Esau and Jacob, they weren't a bit alike. Esau, we find, was a hairy man. He was a big outdoorsman and says that Jacob was a plain man. But here's something unusual about them. verse 27 of chapter 25 says that Esau was a cunning hunter. Yes, right here in our text, his father sent him out to hunt for a deer to make him some venison that he loved. He said, take your bow and arrows and go out and bring a deer in. He was a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Here's something else. In verse 28, we're still in chapter 25, says that Isaac loved Esau. Esau was a daddy's boy. But Rebekah loved Jacob. He was a mama's boy. Can you imagine growing up in a household like that? Verse 5 of chapter 27 here, it says, when Isaac's talking, it's Esau, his son. And in the next verse, verse 6, Jacob, her son. And that's not all of it. You go over into Romans chapter 9 and you find in verse 13 that God got into the act. The Bible says, God says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Amazing, isn't it? Here, Isaac loved him. Him and God loved Esau. He loved Esau. God hated him. Anyway, at the time of the incident in this text, Isaac was 138 years old. And he was blind. Just about blind. And the old man thought he might die any day. Well, I guess when you get 138 years old, you're entitled to think that. The amazing thing is that he lived 42 years after this. Died at the ripe old age of 180. Chapter 35, verse 28. Now, at the time this incident took place then, Esau and Jacob, they're the same age, remember they're twins, they're 78 years old. As old as some of us. Esau had been married for 38 years. He had two wives. Chapter 26, verse 34. Old Jacob, he'd never been married. 78-year-old bachelor. By the way, he is 85 before he ever got married. But when he married two wives. Leah and Rachel. But anyway, at this time, this is the time of blessing that has come. And the rest of this chapter tells the story. But hidden in this chapter is one of the most beautiful pictures of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ that you'll find anywhere in the Old Testament, I believe. Watch it unfold here as we look at this. Esau was the firstborn. They were twins, but he was the firstborn. Their births are recorded over in chapter 25 there. So, being the firstborn, he was entitled to all the blessings of the firstborn child. And the blessing, here in verse 29, let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. That's a pretty good blessing, isn't it? There's a catch here. back before they were born, after Rebekah was pregnant with these twins, God said this: the elder shall serve the younger. The elder is Esau. The younger is Jacob. The elder is entitled to the blessing, and the blessing says, let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee, be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. So we've got a problem. Jacob must somehow get into the place of blessing. Otherwise, God's prophecy will not be fulfilled. But how's he going to do it? His mother had a sharp ear, and she heard what Isaac had said to Esau. And his mother devises a plan for Jacob to get the blessing. Just as you and I, when we were sinners outside of the realm of God, we weren't even thinking about God. We were lost and undone. But somehow, we've got to get into the place of blessing. But we've got to get there, not by some scheme or plan of our own, but by the plan of someone else. Now, Jacob came as a sinner. He knew he was a sinner. I want you to notice some of his fears. He had the fears of a sinner. He feared death without the blessing. He feared the plan of God would not be carried out. He feared the wrath of his brother. He feared the wrath of his father. He feared that the physical differences between him and his brother would reveal him as an imposter and as a deceiver. He feared discovery and rejection. But most of all, Jacob feared the curse. Verse 12. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. So his mother said in verse 13, upon me be thy curse. If you're going to get into the place of blessing, someone else is going to have to bear the curse. I can't wait to say it. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, he said, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing, he's going to be made a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That we, you and I, might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You see that? That's the solution. That's the answer to it right there. So someone else is going to have to make Jacob acceptable to the Father. When I found acceptance with God, my Heavenly Father, it was not of my own doings. It was not of my merit. It was not of my works. But it was the work of the Holy Spirit of God that drew me to Him and made me acceptable in the Beloved. Now Jacob found acceptance with his father and received his blessing because he sheltered behind the name of the father's firstborn son. Picture this. He walks into the presence of his father. The father says, "Who art thou, my son?" How's he going to answer him? If he said, "I'm Jacob," he's going to say, "Get out of here. You can't get the blessing. You're not the firstborn." You know what he told his father? He came to him in the name of his firstborn son. And he said, "I am Esau, thy firstborn." The voice sounded like Jacob's voice. His father might have been blind and couldn't see him, but he could still hear a little bit. He asked him again, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." He identified with Esau. Even so, we as sinners, in order to find acceptance before God and receive His blessing, must be sheltered behind the name of His beloved firstborn son. Ephesians chapter 1, I want to read this to you. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." In Christ. "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." I don't have any goodness that I can claim to come into the presence of God. I have to come through Jesus Christ, God's firstborn son. Now, we are accepted as we identify with his son. Jacob was accepted by his father also because he was